I hope my screen is visible to all of you. Before we actually start, I think I would like to make the statutory or the standard disclaimer saying that the intent of this entire presentation is not to make any forward-looking statements, is not to influence anyone or any decision of yours. It is more from a knowledge-sharing perspective. Thank you. There is audio.
Thanks, Etan, for this opportunity given, and then hello to all of you. Good evening. My name is Krishna Raj Sharma, and I'm a co-founder and director on board of iValue. Talking about the organization, I'm not very sure. I think some names in this are just had a look, and then I think few of them would have heard of us, would have participated one of the calls earlier. To whoever has not been very familiar to us, is an opportunity for us to talk about the organization. Just briefly give you a little overview about people behind the organization and the spirit behind, you know, forming this organization, and then talk about iValue sense position in the market and a bit of detail about our business. The organization is 18 years old. A few of us who are working with one of the divisions of Wipro moved out of the organization and started this iValue 18 years back. You know, that's been our journey. In earlier assignments, you know, certain knowledge and confidence which we have on is on cybersecurity sector. Okay, so when we started 18 years back, we started our business with cybersecurity business. You know, from there onwards, the journey. I think I will revisit about us, our progress in this various stages of this presentation. Okay, I will go back to this slide number one, which largely talks about us today. Why are we here? What's our business and things like that? I would start it with relating to your day-to-day life. Taking example, if I decide to travel to Mumbai, the first thing I would do is that you know, pick up my mobile phone, look out for Make My Trip or any one of the travel application, book my ticket. Next day morning, you know, I will generate my boarding pass, you know, upload it to DigiYatra so that, you know, the faster check-in in airport is possible. From home, I try book, you know, one of the taxi, open the app for them, you know, book if Uber is not available in Deno, Ola if Ola is not responding, and back to Uber. Okay, that's how the life is would be. Reach airport, check-in through DigiYatra, and then, you know, onwards the journey starts. Why I took this example is to tell you, I'm saying that how much of application dependency we have for a small, you know, task like traveling to Mumbai. Okay, so if you look at outside this, each and every one of us in one or other means, okay, even at work, even at home, for family, for friends, our dependency on application is increasing so much, or our utilization of the application is so high today. Okay, the reason of picking this example is to tell you, are saying that our whole business is revolves around application. It could be you know, centralized banking, core banking application. It could be somebody's SAP. It could be, you know, many other applications, a quick commerce platform. Okay, so today, if application doesn't perform, okay, there is no reason for customers to wait for it to perform. Okay, it takes a second for him to switch from one platform to another platform. If Uber is slow in the morning when I'm trying to book a taxi to the airport, it doesn't take me 2 seconds time to switch to Ola. Okay, what happens with Uber? Uber's reputation loss, that's number one. Revenue loss to Uber. Okay, so it is a digitization of business. Okay, has depend on this four pillars which is mentioned here, which is called performance, availability, scalability, and security. We call this as PaaS. Okay, every application dependent organization, which is not today, I mean majority of them an application dependent organization today, the application need to perform. The availability application is very critical. You can't be saying that, hey, I'm available from this time zone to this time zone. Not at all. You should be available 24 hours. If you are not available, then the options are available for somebody else too. The scalability. Another popular example we keep talking about is Coldplay event, the rock show which happened in,
Ahmedabad.
Okay. I don't think ever Book My Show has ever experienced that kind of a load. Okay. This is the classic example for scalability of the application. Okay. In a normal condition, they would be having few lakhs of people logging in, and suddenly when the gates open, when the booking opens for this on the platform of, Book My Show, it just completely got flooded and application packed up within few minutes because it could not scale to the demand what was surging by the people who are logging in. So this is the classic example for that matter any application. I'm saying that even I'm saying what happens at the end of the financial year. Look at our tax filing. I'm saying that last day comes in, the filing goes up rapidly. Okay, that means the application should be able to perform. It should be available constantly 24 hours. And also application should be scalable to take that load. Okay. And also the most important thing is security. A security around the application, security about people who are trying to log into the application and things like that. I think this becomes a very, very important. I mean, I don't have to talk about security anymore. I'm saying that we read it day in, day out in the newspaper, especially on the fraud which is happening in the retail sector of financial, I mean banks. Okay, so this security becomes paramount, especially when the whole organization has gone through the digital journey. Okay, so our offerings is all around application to make it perform, available, scalable and secure. Okay, this is all about our existence and our area of operations, or I would say that this is our court in which we can play the game. Okay, so these are few merits awards which we have taken, we have received, and a few financials milestones which has been listed there below. We will move forward. I think maybe collectively you can note down some questions later and then we will answer. You can move. Yeah, so who are we? What's our role? What's the value chain in which we are participating? So, this is a small balloon on the left-hand side, which you could see. Okay, we have used this pictorial representation to tell you, saying that how many stakeholders are there business and where exactly we are. I will take some names here. Just to quote as an example, I repeat it, okay? So that some popular names, just to quote as an example, so that you can relate it to the functions of each balloons and the numbers and the name which is mentioned here, okay? Number one, enterprise is at number one, which is end customer. Could be any banks, could be any, large enterprises, could be any, retail sector, large companies. Okay, that's an enterprise who actually consumes a technology which we sell. Okay, let me say that. That's an enterprise, large bank it could be. Number two, system integration partner. He's at number two. Large system integrator, the partner is the one. If there is a digital journey which is taken by a PSU bank, it could be an enterprise, private bank. Okay, system integration partner is the one who gets approached by the bank first. Okay, they discuss about a new application roll out which we're planning to do. This is an application. These are functions and features of application which you're looking forward for. Could be a gold loan. I'm just picking an example. A bank who does not have a retail offerings of gold loan, he's rolling out the business. So what he has to do, he has to buy the application for the gold loan. Okay, he needs to build infrastructure to run that application. Okay, make that application, again talking about PaaS, perform, available, secure, and deliver to the customer. Okay, so you need underlying infrastructures, you need underlying networking, in underlying softwares, underlying all of the complete IT infrastructure which is required for the application to run, including space in data center, disaster recovery, and NDR. Okay, near DR is what we call it as. So this is what customer is looking out for. He puts his requirement on the table with the system integrator, maybe in the form of the RFP. Okay, so system integration partner is the one who will deliver application to him, who will deliver database which will work behind application, all licenses, software which is required, all networking servers, a complete infrastructure which is required, including a few of the solutions which we sell, which is cybersecurity, storage behind it to store the data, okay, networking which runs the networking, okay, and also a complete life cycle of the application, not only from configuring to run and sustain and maintain of the application, whatever is required will be proposed by the system integrator. He is the one who integrate every component, make the whole project in IT to run for that particular bank. Okay. At number three is OEM. OEM is original equipment manufacturer who owns the IP and the product. Okay. The VAD. Okay, a value added distributor is our role. Okay, what I value, that's the space in which we play. Okay, we actually hate this word called distributor because we do not do anything what a classic distributor do. We do not do anything which classic distributor do. Okay, we do a much more than that, what we will talk about maybe in the next slide. Okay, so enterprise is a customer, system integration is a partner who will buy products from us for the project which he has to execute at enterprise, and OEM is the one who owns the technology which we sell. Okay, that's the value chain. This is the participation what we have in this. Next slide, please. Okay, so what we said that we sell a lot of things. I'm saying what is that we sell? Okay, there are four technology pillars where I value as an organization is fenced ourselves in. I want to use this word called fenced ourselves in. Our whole business, if you have to put into the bucket, these are the four technology buckets in which we want to put our whole offerings around. Okay, most of our signup, I would say all of our signups are the one which fills into this four buckets. Okay, cybersecurity is a prime vertical, technology vertical we are talking about, not market segments, I repeat. Okay, technology verticals. Okay, cybersecurity is the largest vertical which contributes 50% of our whole business. We should be having close to around 60 to 70 OEMs, okay, who are the tool suppliers for us. Let me use the word called tool. Okay, tool suppliers for us. Okay, under cybersecurity. Okay, our next bucket, which gives us 26% of the business, is information lifecycle management. Okay, in information lifecycle management, we talk about very large storage systems. We talk about data protection, that storage and the information, then the data which you actually back up and store in critical devices in multiple layers and multiple stages. Okay, a lot of products around that happening. Okay, backup, recovery, archive as a solution which comes in the complete life cycle of the product. Life cycle of the product, when we are talking about it, it's a literal meaning of life cycle, from the collection of the data to the storage of the data and backup and security of the data. The complete life cycle till it gets secured in the central system is the life cycle what we are talking about. We participate in every journey of the data's life cycle. The third one is data center infrastructure. If you look at the data center business, which is a large buzz around these days, I'm saying that a lot of initiative which is taken by the government, I mean, I think it's a kind of a, I mean, the biggest, rather brightest, hotspot our industry could ever get, other than the software services, we as a country has been always been highlighted for this. But I think thanks to the government, highlighting, giving us the opportunity to get that kind of an attention. I should say this. Data center infrastructure is a great opportunity for us. In data center, we look at business in two silos. Okay, one is a private or a capex data centers. Another one is public data centers. Okay. If you look at the private data centers are the one are the ones which is owned by an organization. Okay, they own every infrastructure, they own every license of the software, they own every asset of that data center by themselves. Okay, giving example, taking names here, just for an example, if Bank of Baroda, you know, running the whole IT infrastructure and the business out of their data center, it is owned by them. Okay, so this is what we call it as private data center. What is public data center? Public data centers are including a lot of hyperscalers, the popular names of Azure, AWS, or maybe GCP, Google Cloud. And also somewhere in between, I would say that where there is Indian players are coming in, like Yota or Adani or Reliance. You know, these are the Indian names, which is little away from the you know, hyperscalers, and also little away from the pure public, I mean pure private data center, which I just spoke about, a bank. Okay, so we supply a lot of infrastructure across all these three, but majorityly the private data center, and okay, and some opportunities what we get from the Indian local national data center, which is get built by non hyperscalers. Okay, so these are the two strong buckets which we have. I repeat, are two strong buckets in the data center. We have is private data center, which is owned and you know, operated by a private organization, and also our local national data center, which is getting opened. This is a new movement which is happening. There are a lot of them already playing. Okay, and we have very least and small play in the hyperscaler market, okay, which is coming into India, which already come into India, and then more and more hyperscaler sites will come into India. Okay, so what we do in these two sectors of data center which you spoke, we talk about a lot of infrastructure supply to them, starting from security. In the private data center, we play across all these four buckets. Okay, the data center need to be secured. There need to be a lot of storage which goes inside. Okay, there's a huge amount of switches, routing, backup, storage, you know, kind of infrastructure which we are away from power business in the data center. We are away from cooling business infrastructure. We are away from, you know, a lot of other things, components, like, I mean, a lot of dependency of cabling and racks, and, you know, all of these things. We are slightly away from this. We do not participate in this. In the four buckets which is mentioned, whatever possibility of it going into the data center is what we participate in. So we help in supplying few infrastructure components when anybody and everybody builds data center. Okay, that's the third bucket, which currently gives around 12% of the business to us. Okay, the fourth bucket, which is the new bucket for us, which is just 3 years old, you know, bucket which we have rolled out, which is application lifecycle management, cloud, and others. Okay, we are currently calling it as others because that of relative products around ALM and cloud is what has been put under that. Okay, here what you can see, one of the very popular name in Google Cloud. We are the first VAT, value added distributors of Google Cloud in India. Okay, that's the one hyperscaler business which we have. Okay, other than this, a lot to do about application lifecycle management, a lot of tools. I don't want to be technical here. A lot of tools, very few names are mentioned in each of them. We must be having closely around 110 OEMs like these, the logos which you can see in fitting to each of these buckets. Okay, so application lifecycle management currently gives 12%. Data center infrastructure gives around 12% of the business. Okay, ILM gives 26% of the business. See, if you look at ILM and cybersecurity totally, they must be close to around 70% of the business to us. Okay, across putting all this together, selling of these opportunities, I mean selling of these products associated with professional services is what we do. Okay, in this balloon which we saw. Okay, VAT, I'm just relating it back. Okay, for a data center opportunity, SI is the one who packs up everything, including what we sell to the enterprise, and OEM is the one which logos which you saw is that's in the third place. Okay, hope we're able to relate that. We can move forward. Yeah, so what's special with us? I'm saying that if somebody needs to, you know, generalize the whole thing, you're in a B2B business. So what, I mean, what difference is this? There are many other big names in this industry, okay? Appreciated. Okay. If you look at IT classic distributors, okay, I don't want to take names again. All of you know about it. And many of them are listed. Okay, so what do they do? What's the role they classically play? They manage supply chain. Okay, if you look at us as an organization, okay, we must be billing closely around 800 partners in a year. Okay, that's been our reach out. When we talk about partners, it is system integration partner which you're talking about. Okay, so as big as IBM's and HP's and Infosys and TCS and many of them with whom we do business. Okay, similarly, there are many regional players, okay, who are specifically into south based, north based, and things like that, or few of them are vertical based, few of them are technology based. Okay, there are specialized cybersecurity partners with whom we do business with. Okay, maybe as small as the whole company might be $2-3 million. Okay, but they are a focused partner for us. Okay, so that's the supply chain what we have. Okay, if you look at the classic distributor, he might have, I'm talking about 800 partners, he might have 50,000 partners. Okay, that's the kind of a reach what they have. Okay, what kind of a product they play in? Okay. The kind of a product the classic distributor plays in is the laptop, is a projector what we are, you know, utilizing today. Could be mobile phones, majority of them. Could be printers, could be anything. I'm saying that video surveillance. I'm saying that computers, laptops, could be servers, basics, all of them. All basic networking, why not? I'm saying that basic networking, that's a huge business. Okay. These are the components of IT which a classic distributor does, where there's a huge supply chain excellence what is required, okay? A channel reach which is required, credit management. If you're billing 50,000 partner, it's a very, very different scale of altogether to manage the credit, okay? This is what they do. In our own area, we also do this, but limited to that four technology pillars which we're talking about, okay? There are VADs. Okay, value-added distributors, okay, a few additional value adds which we do other than the first pure play distribution channel, which all of us do, okay. They have focused channel, okay, they would have a lot of marketing activity which is going on. They're not depending on the OEM like Apple phone to advertise the full page in, you know, Times of India tomorrow morning that we are launching or we launch new page. No, there is no dependence, okay. They do a lot of marketing activity on their own, which is very sector specific maybe. Okay, and they also deliver a lot of services around the product which they sell. You combine these two, okay, are a classic, the first is the classic distribution, second is the value-added distribution where you add value to all of them. You may not have, a classic distributor may not have opportunity to value add because it is a lot to buy in bulk and retail it. That's a strength of the classic distributor, okay. Looking at the third box, which is high value here, okay, how different are we and why are we different? I mean, I'm saying that is it meaningfully different to the business, or you're just, you know, frilling your business to show that you are different? Absolutely not. Okay, the products what we are selling, let's take an example of cybersecurity. Okay, the first pillar which contributes 50% of the business. Okay, if a large bank is looking out to protect their network, okay, they're planning to renew or they're planning to revamp their security network. Okay, today, if any enterprise organization need to be a cyber resilient organization, have to use at least 25 products of different OEMs and at least all put together 40 solution stack need to be deployed at various levels and segments of the network, okay, to get the organization cyber resilient. Okay, that means by selling one solution to a bank or one solution to a manufacturing utility, for a utility company, or maybe to a automobile manufacturer, you cannot make that organization a cyber resilient. Okay, if you sell a one product, it cannot give a solution. That's number one. Okay, number two, that means it is a multiple solution game. Okay, when it becomes, that's why it's written as, you know, as number one, it's a multi OEM stack. Okay, if at all we have participate in a security operation center for a decent large size bank, okay, we got to get solutions of, I mean, stacks of solutions from multiple OEM, see to that they're integrated with each other, okay, see to that they talk to each other, they're positioned rightly, they're sized rightly. Okay, that means what I sell to the bank A, I can't sell it to the bank B because the network application size, everything is different. So that means I need to almost build a customized solution with multiple OEM stack, okay, to address a requirement. That means there is a lot of work on pre-sales, designing, sizing, integration is what is required in the business. It is true for all four buckets which is mentioned. Okay, it is true for all four buckets which is mentioned. Okay, so it's a completely a stack solution. It's a solution game. It is not a product game. Okay, let me move to another one. Okay, we have built, when the customer says that, hey, I want to go for a, you know, cybersecurity, you know, rollout, before I buy, I want to see how it works. Okay, so we are, I mean, one point I want to mention is saying that 50% of our manpower, okay, in the organization where we have 450 people currently, 50% is technical. Okay, that means people who do pre-sales, post-sales, sit along with the customer and design a solution. Okay, so if a customer says that before I build this solution stack which you are talking about, Mr. Krishna Raj, can you demonstrate it to me? Okay, we have developed a very unique center of excellence where multi-brand solutions could be integrated together. I can give access to customer saying that, sir, login and see. I have almost built a similar scenario, okay, of your use case. Okay, login and check. Let us know what, you know, your feedback. Okay, that means I can almost showcase what customer is looking out for. Okay, and he can hands-on with that application, with that solution stack, experience and come back and say, saying that, hey, this works. Hey, this doesn't work. We need this changes. Okay, so this is another value add which we have to the whole chain. Okay, we have if a system integrator, let me pick a name. I'm saying that if you're working with Infosys for a large project or a TCS for a large project, TCS can come and say, saying that, hey, you have implemented, installed, you have designed, sizing, given this solution stack for us. Can you please help us rolling it? That's number one. If they need. Okay, that's number one. Okay, number two, he says that, hey, thank you, you have rolled out. As an organization, we have skill on this particular solution stack only for L1 and L2. Okay, if at all there is an L3 requirement, can you please chip in? Can you please help? That's an opportunity for us to serve him through a managed services offering, which is at number five, okay, which is mentioned here. Okay, so that means I'll tell him, I'm saying that, dear Infosys, dear TCS, okay, you want, I'm taking brand names here now. Okay, you want an L3 support and checkpoint firewall, which we have implemented at this customer place. Okay, here is a 50 L3 tickets you buy it from me. The life of L3 is for next 12 months. Tickets are 12 months. You use it whenever it is required if you think that's it. Okay, that's the sustenance business which we can get in, or the value add which we deliver to the system integration partner, which is not being done by either two pillars which is mentioned, which is pure play distributors and value added distributors. Okay, so we have in-house next generation technology academy. We pick people from you know, it's a very skill based industry. Let me tell you, it's a very skill based industry. Okay, our sales guy need to be skillful. Otherwise, they'll not be able to make a conversation. They have to be technology aware sales guys. Okay, that's another differentiator which we have. Okay, in the organization, that's a differentiator in the market which we carry very proudly. Okay, so and always there's a depth of available talents in the market. So a couple of years back, we decided saying that we also will have homegrown pool of talent which we can consume and also if needed to supply to the industry. Okay, that's the iAcademy we have I think seventh batch running currently. Okay, we pick people we pick kids from various industries, bring them up. We have a curriculum which suits our four technology buckets, train them up, We have evaluation method. Majority of them gets absorbed. Few of them also has been sent to the open market. Okay, so these are the few unique differentiators which we have built. Okay, is actually giving us values in the market, a space in the market. Okay, and which is currently, yeah, I am saying that which I mean, I would say Swarup will cover from here onwards. Okay, which will reflect in financials. Over to you, Swarup. Hope
Thanks.
I have done justice.
Thanks a lot, Keris. I think what all we are talking has to be shown in some form or as a proof of pudding in the numbers per se. And if you see what Keris has spoken so far in the numbers and all that stuff, and what are the uniqueness which we bring onto the table, as Keris mentioned, we prefer solutioning or sourcing. How are we doing this? We are the one with more than 200 people who are in pre-sales and post-sales teams with 1,000 plus tech certifications. We offer multi-OEM based stacks to the customers. In the last financial year, we have sold more than 2 OEM products to 450 customers, and 80% of our partners and customers repeat. They come back to us because they like the work which we do. We work with the end customers in their digital transformation journeys. We are the only one. If you go back to this previous slide, which Keris has mentioned, we are the only one who has an end customer on enterprise practice. We have practices around BFSI. We have practice around government. We have practice around defense and enterprise customers. Revenue predictability, because of all the value additions which we bring onto the table, there is a constant annuity business comes up. More than 40% of our revenues are annuity-based, which are predictable in nature and recurring in nature. There is a high amount of value which we bring on to the partner. The partner here is a system integrator. We do a joint GTM with him. We create opportunities. We design, execute, monetize the services, help him on all the renewals, and then end on expansion once he has landed. This enables us to have the highest profitability in the industry as compared to any other distributors or value-added distributors. We operate on a gross margin of 10% and an EBITDA margin of 5.5%. These numbers are on gross sales, not on the net sales. If it is on the net sales, these numbers will be significantly higher. Gross margin would be close to around 25 to 30% and EBITDA would be close to around 10-12%. We provide extreme value to the customers because we have a deep pre-sales practice, solution architecture, muscle, and COE and multiple aspects of it. We have certified pre-sales, solution architects, one-of-its-kind multi-OEM COE, which helps us to achieve this and offer this to our customers. And finally, we believe that what we are offering to the entire ecosystem is valued by the ecosystem. This has resulted in an 18-year continuous growth, both in top line and bottom line for us. There was not a single year since inception where we have not grown, and not grown in double digits, both on top line and bottom line. So with this, I would actually open the floor for questions. Please, over to you, the moderator.
Thank you so much, sir. Participants who wish to ask question, please raise your hand. First question is from Mr. Lakshmi Narayanan. Please unmute yourself and ask the question.
Yeah, hi. So few questions. One is that see, there has been a little bit of cost. Not a little bit, a strong cost escalations on memory devices and memory chips, etc. And also, we see that there is a lot of noise related to AI. So we gather is that there has been a kind of a slowness in the decision making among the corporates, driven by these two factors. Now, while you have reiterated your guidance for the full year, want to understand how things look from an order book point of view when you look into the next 1 or 2 years. Do you see that there is the decision making or either by cost factor or the technology change factor? Would love to hear your perspectives here.
Sir, good evening to you, Lakshmanan sir. This is KRS here. Just touching upon the first question which you asked, talking about hardware delivery delays and the shortage of chips and things like that. Are we experiencing it? Yes, of course, we are also experiencing it. Is there a delay which is happening in decision making from the customer side? Yes, that hints are coming to us. Have we changed our guidance based on this? Not really as of now. I would say that it's very late that we have started feeling the heat of the shortage, a delay and things like that as of now, which are very close to the end. I feel that some kind of impact can start coming in for us on delay in delivery and order, order booking. Okay, maybe Q1 of the next year. Okay, so that gives us the confidence that we should be able to hold our projection for the current year. Okay, answering that. Yes. Number two is order book. I just want to highlight one point here is that order book are under. I mean, our segment is very small. If I get a software order, it gets billed. I mean, literal sense. Please don't take it in that sense. It will be billed within next three days actually. Okay, in the literal sense. Okay, so for us, it's more of a pipeline visibility is more important than the order book. The hardware takes maybe in our average delivery life of an order book is not more than 2.5-3 weeks. Okay, as of now. Including hardware solution, I mean hardware software solution, everything. Okay, the pipeline is looking decently strong. Okay, coming back to the first point, yeah, the growth of the pipeline could be slightly slowed down. Okay, because of the availability of hardware, whatever.
Got it. That is one part is the availability of hardware, right? Because we read that there has been force majeure measure. Some of the hardware companies have asked the government to kind of go back and increase the prices. So that's what we read in the press. With respect to the artificial intelligence, right? So though you had a call last week where you actually outlined how you can benefit from AI, my question is that whether this all would result in organizations or grappling as to what is the right solution to put, therefore there will be a delay. Is that something which may happen? Is it that next year growth will be similar to this year's growth? I mean, how to think about this?
So as mentioned by our CTO Mr. Mitish during the call a couple of days back on especially on AI side, it is very positive. I should say that AI is an opportunity for us. If you look at our top 50 OEMs, top 5 OEMs in that sense, okay, kind of investment which they are doing, kind of an inorganic acquisition they are doing to participate in this AI journey and an opportunity is humongously big. I mean, just to quote some vague numbers, approximate numbers here. They must have invested, 50 plus billion dollars, okay, in acquisition to adopt into the AI journey. Okay, this is inorganic. Okay, so for us, it's an opportunity for sure. Short. Okay, what can it? I'm saying, is the AI, kind of asking us to reduce, next year's guidance? Yeah, I think we'll take some time to come with the details, but as of now, we are not finding anything of that sort.
And then just to add to that, Swaroop, you're right. The basic premise under which the AI operates is around data, application, and compute. All these three are give us a good positive headwinds for us as we go with the visibility which we have. We don't know how this the AI will shape up going forward. So we are taking a cautious approach. As of now, we don't see any reason to be worried about this. It's only going to be a positive upside for us rather than a negative thing. But if any further developments come in, we'll keep you informed.
So Swarup, you're maintaining your guidance, I believe, right? For the full year?
Yes.
Top line and bottom line?
Yes.
For FY 2026. Thank you. Thank you. I'll get back into you.
Thank you so much, sir. Next question is from Vibhav Khandelwal. Please unmute yourself and ask the question.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I'm relatively new to the company, so just wanted to understand the business model a little better. See, I was sad for your presentation. Now, one thing I wanted to understand, you know, there's a very long value chain in terms of, you know, from OEM to iValue, then there's an ESI, then there's the end customer. What I want to understand is, you know, why can't any AI tools deflate, you know, iValue sort of value proposition, or if not even any AI tools, but, you know, why can't the end customer or the SI or the OEM get smarter and try to disintermediate you? And, you know, they'll figure out what software, what sort of multi sort of OEM package they want. If, you know, if not entirely disintermediating you, but, you know, why can't they at least negotiate harder, saying that, you know, I have found this tool, I have spoken to this, you know, my peer, etc., and I think this worked for them, so this will also work for me. So, you know, please, you know, half my billing rates, hypothetically. I just wanted to understand that. Sorry if the question is a little rudimentary.
Hey, thanks for the question, Mehta. This is Swarup here. Your question predominantly is about why can't AI replace iValue, if I have to just summarize in one sentence.
Not AI specifically, but, and, you know, why can't the sort of other participants in the value chain get smarter?
Yes. Now you see the players who are there. You have a customer, you have a system integrator, and you have an OEM. Okay. So let us go each one of them by this, right? Before I go there, let me tell you, okay, iValue doesn't deal in products which are commodities. We work with offerings where technology, understanding of the technology, implementation of it is something which is still relevant and required, which means that the entire offerings, the entire bouquet of offerings or the suite of offerings which we have are not plug and play offerings. They have to be what you call it as sized for each of the requirements. For example, there is a SOC requirement, that is security operating center requirement for a Canara Bank. We make a security operating center requirements, the solutioning, the BOQs, everything for a Canara Bank. Tomorrow, instead of a Canara Bank, an Access Bank comes up. We can't just share the same with them. The existing infrastructure varies, the requirements varies, the underlying applications varies, the entire usage varies. It has to be done again from scratch, and then you have to get it done. That is point number one. Second is it only an IP of iValue that iValue alone can do it, no other player can do? No, the answer is no. Definitely a system integrator who is there, like an Infosys, like a TCS, like an NTT who are there, they're capable of doing this and they do it today also. It is not that iValue is capturing the entire market which is there. There are deals which are being done where iValue is not playing and some other players are also doing it. Who is doing all that work? The system integrator is doing it. Now, will the system integrator come and actually be a threat to your business? The answer would be again. You take a typical, what you call this order, which the end customer issues on a system integrator. He issues not just for these four technology segments, but primarily for the application development, maintenance, sustenance, and customizations. Plus the security and around the application part of it, and then plus with the endpoint tools and devices which he has. If the entire order is, say, $100, all these aspects which the system integrator does would be around $80 to $85. What we offer is around $10 to $15. A system integrator will not come down for an item which is a very 10% of the wallet share and operates at a significantly lower EBITDA percentages. Today, a system integrator, any of these system integrators like TCS, Infosys, etc., operates on an EBITDA of north of 20 or 25%, whatever it is. We are operating at an EBITDA of around 5.5%, 6%, while our return ratios are good, but our EBITDAs are lower. We don't see that happening and they coming down. This is not the area of expertise for them. So far, this is not just this year of operations. From the last 18 years of operations, we have been working with system integrators. And third, the entire business model, we are not competing with the system integrator. We are only complementing the system integrator. As Keras said, we have capabilities of offering L3 support or any other support of implementation and all that stuff. We don't directly go and bid it. We always work with the system integrator, and the system integrator does it. Even though we have capabilities, we don't just go direct. We would always want to have a system integrator so that the entire ecosystem is managed. And last, from the OEM perspective, not just in India, but globally, the OEMs will not sell directly to the system integrators. They sell only through a distributor, whether it is a normal pure play distributor or a value-added distributor. They sell only through a distributor because they believe that the reach which a distributor can bring them cannot be done without this. That is the reason, like even as Keras mentioned, large hyperscalers, which have a very good reach and visibility, like GCPs, have appointed distributors, not just iValue. There are other normal distributors also for them. Plus, I have clarified, Vaibhav.
You know, that's helpful. One sort of follow-up question on that would be, you know, in the...
Sorry to interrupt you, sir, as we are closing to concluding time. So, we will take last question from Ms. Disha. Disha, please limit your question to one only. Please unmute yourself and ask the question. Miss Disha? I think she's not there. We will take one question from the chat box. How do we market our solution, like which is major segments going forward for us, since we do have data structure interest as a service?
Marketing which we offer for our solutions is a unique thing which we do. We do a lot of events. We something we call it as iRishte is an event which we do, where we bring in the CXOs of various customers and partners. And we do another event called as iStrong, where we consider for the customers, and iRishte is for our OEMs, partners and OEMs. These are the events which we do. And we also have almost every week one or the other event where we talk to the respective CXOs and CTOs of the respective companies, take the offerings of various OEMs, show them how it is structured, and showcase them. They have to understand like this. This is a segment, or all these four segments are very new and upcoming segments. These are not segments where they are matured and all that stuff. They are there for years, but they are still in their what you call as a growth phase, and they have not reached anywhere between maturity, these segments. So we will see a lot of what you call it as newer technologies and solutions coming up in these spaces. So we will have an inbound interest from almost 3 to 4 or 3 to 5 OEMs in every month, asking us to get associated with them and see how we go. But we'll always see how it actually works, how it entire solution fits into our bouquet of offerings. And then based on that, we take them on board and move ahead. When we onboard and move ahead, there is a 90-day plan where we understand the requirements, then take them to our partners, take them to our customers, see how the entire integration does. So marketing is a full-fledged function which works for us. First, I have answered it.
Thank you so much, sir. Due to time constraint, we will now have to conclude the call. Any closing comment, sir?
Just one point. There are certain open questions. I don't know whether I'll be able to see them. If you're able to actually send these questions, we can respond them back to the respective person who has raised the queries. Kindly help with this.
Sure, sir. We will share on the mail, sir.
Yeah. Having said that, thanks a lot for taking time for iValue and trying to understand us. We are here. EY is our IR team. We can any specific questions you have, we are happy to respond back to you guys.
Thanks to the organizer and the participants who spent time on this call today. Thank you. Thanks a ton.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of Arihant Capital, I would like to sincerely thank the management team for taking the time to join us today and for sharing their valuable insights about the company. If participants have further any queries, you may get in touch with the team at Arihant Capital and we will be happy to assist you. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.